Welcome back, folks, to this hour, this segment of the Hagman and the Hagman Report. Our very special guest, Mr. Anthony Patch, anthonypatch.com. Bookmark that site, visit the site. It's an extremely informative website. Also, he's got some interesting books. I was looking at these books, and if you go to download ebooks, very compelling, 2048 Diamonds in the Rough, for example. It's a science fiction novel, 118 pages. It's where truth and hidden science collide at CERN. Very interesting, exciting adventure story comprised of leading-edge, thought-provoking science. Have a look at that. Also, on his website as well, have a look at the unique identifiers. Anthony Patch, unique identifiers and quotes. This is something we threatened to do with Steve Quayle. And Mr. Patch has really taken this to a very interesting level. Before we get back to Mr. Patch, I just want to remind everybody out there, hey, Valentine's Day, 4 days from now, it's this weekend, it's this Sunday, that's right.
Don't tell my wife.
I know. Hide the calendars, right? That works. Now, you know what? If you're tired of guessing on what she wants, your wife or your mom, I mean, guys, how great would it be if you still have a mom who's alive? How great would it be to give her the gift of flowers? Let's think of your mom out there. Those lucky enough to have moms still in their lives. You know, I kind of wish my mom was still alive because I definitely would give her flowers. She used to love flowers. But this is Valentine's Day, folks. Trust the experts at Pro Flowers who give you the confidence that Valentine's Day is done right.
Well, thanks, Dad. Yeah. I ordered flowers from Pro Flowers for my wife yesterday.
There you go.
Now I'm going to have to go back and get some for my mom.
There you go. See, it's the guilt trip. No, it's not.
You just reminded me.
It's all, you know, moms love flowers, and all women love flowers. Even when they say, no, don't give me flowers, don't give me flowers, don't fall for that, folks. Pro Flowers is offering our listeners 24 assorted roses, plus a free glass vase for just $29.99. Now, you can really be a hero, and I do suggest this because I got this for my wife. Just because, in fact, she got it yesterday.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, you know.
The vase is beautiful.
That's right.
And it's... A present in its own with little roses on it.
It's a cherry red vase. It's just gorgeous, you know. And chocolates for just $9.99 more. Folks, go to proflowers.com. Use our code Hagman. That's our code Hagman. HAGMANN. That's proflowers.com. Use our code Hagman. Folks, don't wait. Guys, don't wait. Send them to her right now. For example, when her coworkers gather around and look at her flowers, oh, you know. And when they start gushing and saying, oh, how great is that? You know you did Valentine's Day right. Pro Flowers, they're quick, they're easy. Delivery for Valentine's Day is guaranteed. Pro Flowers, they're guaranteed to last 7 days or your money back. It's really a no-brainer. You can't beat the price. You can't beat the convenience. Their website is easy to navigate. It's so easy. If I can do it, and if others I know can do it, Eric, Eric said,
if I can do this,
if Joe can do it, yeah.
On air yesterday.
Yeah, well, you should have seen that. I was smacking them, too. But anyway, they do all the work. You get the glory. So go to proflowers.com, click on the blue microphone in the top right-hand corner, and type in Hagman. That's proflowers.com, microphone box, type in our code Hagman. Don't wait. Order today. Folks, the deal I spoke of expires Friday, so Go now. Well, not right this second. We got to finish talking to Mr. Patch. But again, what a wonderful gift and the aroma of fresh flowers. You can't beat that. Mr. Patch is on. Joe, you can open it up here. In fact, you know what? Can I ask? Go ahead, Joe, because I think we're on the same path here, or the same path of question here.
Yeah, we were looking at Mr. Patch's website, anthonypatch.com, during the break, and as we were talking with Mr. Patch, and I was reading something earlier before the show started that he brought up during the break, and that is, it's actually, I think, the top article on his website, which it quotes Mark chapter 6, verses 45 through 54, and it says, Jesus Christ is both a wave and a particle. Mr. Patch, could you explain this?
And how is that biblical? My goodness.
Well, it is biblical. If we think of the encounter of the disciples in the fishing boat, and they see Jesus Christ walking on water. That essentially is Jesus Christ as a wave, and I don't mean a water wave, but an energy wave, a spirit, a ghost, if you will, moving across the top of the water. And then when he comes to the boat itself and manifests himself in physical form as a solid being, he's now a particle. So it's biblical. The Bible is replete with advanced science. God laid out the plan in the Bible. And if scientists throughout the years had paid more attention, including Newton, Galileo, and others like him, had spent more time in the Bible, they would have had even more discoveries. Now, Newton was a reader of the Bible. He was a follower, a believer. And he did come to many of his conclusions based upon what he found in the scriptures. But mainstream science today would benefit from reading the Bible.
I would agree with you 100%, because they are not mutually exclusive. Actually, just what you just said, the Bible, if anything, proves and can prove, you know, the science that we see today in many ways. And it will also disprove much of the science we see as well. But the Bible would be the foundation for any young person wanting to go into science who is a believer, because it will be your best method of understanding what is real and what is false, because we do have a false science out there that is being used to create the deceptions leading up to the great deceptions. And there is sound science out there, but that is, you know, swept under the rug and hush hush on that.
And the Bible is a good roadmap. It can lead you to your more definitive, more focused areas of study in science, but it is the starting point. It is also the point that will give you enlightenment. It will flip on that light bulb of enlightenment, and you go, okay, now I understand what it is that God's trying to show me, that science is also trying to show me. But I like to say that, you know, prayers with Jesus Christ is quantum entanglement of our particles with him. So I'll back that up a little bit. If we accept the premise that Jesus Christ, when he manifests in physical form with us, that he's a particle, then in hard science, in quantum mechanics, we talk about quantum entanglement. And that means the communication of two particles separated by any distance, near or far. If you measure, if you observe one particle at a distance, another particle that is communicating with the particle that you're observing will also be affected in the same manner as the one that's right in front of you. Now, Einstein called this spooky action at a distance. Today we call it quantum entanglement. It means that there is, at the quantum level, an instantaneous, faster than the speed of light, an instantaneous form of communication between particles. So when we pray with Jesus Christ, our particles are entangled with his particles. If we're praying with Jesus Christ in physical form, we're quantum entangled. If he is a wave, an energy form, we are also quantum entangled with him. Because in hard science, in physics, in quantum mechanics, we talk about duality. And duality simply means that a particle can be an energy wave, and an energy wave can be a particle. It depends upon the observer. And we as the human beings are the observers. So the state of that matter, whether it's spiritual in the form of a wave or a particle in the form of a physical person that we're praying with or praying to. We are communicating through quantum entanglement. So physics can describe what is going on in the Bible, and the Bible can explain what is going on in quantum physics.
Fascinating.
You know, Joe, and guys out there, guys who think you're too cool for school, or you're too the Bible is antiquated, for example. And I used to think this, I mean, right up to 5 years ago.
What a manly man can't...
You know, no, it's irrelevant to today. I used to look at the Bible as more of a historical book. It's not that I didn't believe in it. I just looked at it as ancient history. But when you look at it the way Mr. Patch just explained this to me, when you look at it as a real enlightenment, I mean, the authoritative foundation for physics and science and yeah, history, certainly. But it's rife with physics. It's rife with the science, the interdimensionality, if you will, and to some extent, time travel. You know, it's just an amazing book when you look at it that way. So I just want to make a mention to the guys out there. Don't think, for example, that the Bible is antiquated. It's really not, and it's really interesting. That's just my public service announcement there.
Now, well, let me give you just a real quick example of something totally bizarre. We talk about quantum computers. There's a thing called quantum tunneling. Quantum tunneling in the Bible, okay? John 20, 26. Jesus proved that it was possible to appear in a completely closed-off room to his apostles. In other words, he moved right through the walls. He moved right through the door. And he appeared in front of the apostles. That is quantum tunneling. The ability of particles to move through energy barriers, even though it appears to be impossible, according to our classical laws of mechanical physics. Now, a quantum computer uses quantum tunneling to run its programming, to derive its answers from another dimension. I've talked about, you've had me on talking about the adiabatic quantum computer, an interdimensional quantum computer. That's quantum tunneling. Well, Jesus Christ did the same thing, and he did it with his own body.
And there you have it, you know. There you have it, folks. We have a question, and I think it's a good question. It's a good foundational question as well. This from Sandy H., who writes that she has a problem with our email, but it came through fine this time. Sandy writes this, or wants to ask you this. Could these things being seen, and this references the antimatter, the telescope artifacts, or the... Not artifacts, but the what was seen.
Antimatter entities, yes.
Okay, antimatter entities. Could they be, perhaps, could they have to do with the government, such as chemtrails and HARP and other weaponry? I mean, is it possible that chemtrails and HARP and these are all working together to, to facilitate what we're seeing?
That's a very good question. And to back up for people who don't have the background on what chemtrails and aerosolized spraying and Project Bluebeam is all about, the short answer is I don't think that these entities that are being observed and captured on film have anything to do with Project Bluebeam or the aerosolized spraying of the atmosphere, the so-called chemtrails. I think that this is being observed beyond the atmosphere and therefore is not part of Project Bluebeam itself. Project Bluebeam will be used in the Grand Deception. Specifically, the spraying of the atmosphere has multiple agendas. One of them is to use the aluminum that has been sprayed along with the strontium and the barium to create a reflective surface, much like a theater screen, that will allow for the photorealistic projection of images throughout the world. And these will be images of Jesus, Buddha, Shiva, whomever, around the planet. And also these benevolent ancestors from the stars, be they in, you know, flying saucers, so to speak, UFOs, spacecraft, and their images of themselves will be projected as holograms. And that dovetails into what we were talking about as far as Lady Gaga, the Super Bowl, the Intel ad for the Grammys, and her being projected in a cube as a hologram. And we can get into that in a minute. But to stay with the question, the antimatter that is being observed is not necessarily being observed in our atmosphere. Some of them are, of course, because they exist everywhere around us, according to Dr. Centilli, but they are also being observed outside our atmosphere and therefore are not part of the chemtrail process or agenda.
Got it. Okay. Got it. Very good answer.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned, the Beyonce, the Super Bowl, the Grammys, and Lady Gaga. I did not see, the only thing I saw of any of these was the Super Bowl video of Beyonce JD put together. So you said at the Grammys, Lady Gaga was presented as a holograph, a hologram in a cube?
Yeah, we put out a video just before the one that you're talking about in which we break down this whole Intel commercial for the Grammys. And she is sponsored by Intel, and she makes several statements in there that are rather ominous. And I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, but this is pretty close to it. She says, "I have the power to imagine the unimaginable. I have the power to invent the uninventable." Now, if you really think about the implications of that in terms of technology that she has at her fingertips, thanks to Intel, and I'm sure there are others besides Intel that are involved, she is talking about the revealing of the high technology that has been hidden for all these years that we've talked about, and that they are about to reveal to us. Specifically in this case, let me back up a little bit. JD and I had a little bit of fun, and we kind of, you know, imagined that I had this dream of Lady Gaga appearing at the Super Bowl as a holographic image that was indistinguishable from that of a human standing, perhaps Beyonce or someone standing next to her. To the crowd and to the television viewers, the dream was that she would appear to be like a normal human being. And then all of a sudden, at the end of her performance, she would ascend to the heavens. That's Project Bluebeam. Now, that didn't happen. We had a little fun with it. We got some, you know, tongue-in-cheek with it. But there's nothing to say that that might happen at the Grammys, because she is presented as a holographic image in this commercial. But you can tell she's a hologram. It's translucent, it's kind of jittery and jumpy. It's what we would normally consider to be a holographic representation of a person. But the advanced technology is such, and this is where Project Bluebeam is that they will be presenting images, perhaps her at the Grammys, in such a fashion that you won't know whether she's real or if she's a hologram.
And we've seen that in past musical performances. One that comes to mind was a summer rap festival. I think this was the first of its time that a hologram of Tupac Shakur, the dead rapper, was projected in 2014, I believe, at a summer music concert, and appearing as though he was on stage singing like he would be in real life. And I'm sure if it wasn't announced that this was a hologram, it wouldn't be too hard to tell, but it would have taken many people by surprise, I think. And that's what they have shown us, and that's what they have allowed the public to be given. Now, what capabilities beyond that they have, that that can project holograms and these images and how real they look in their reality as their technology is so far much more advanced than what they show us. I wonder, and what you mentioned about the projection of Jesus being projected across the world, or Buddha, or depending on the religion and the region, is that what you believe we've seen with, what is it, the visions of the Fatima? The Fatima?
Yeah, Fatima.
And I think there were children in Mexico who saw the Virgin Mary in the sky. And
Bay Harbor, whatever that was on Long Island. Could it be?
And we've seen videos recently where other people have reported the same type of scenarios. It always seems to be in third world countries and places that are not, it's more tribal than it is inner city.
Yeah, except for the one on Long Island. But that was, I don't know.
Yeah, there was a video that they say Jesus was in the sky, and to a few thousand people somewhere in South Africa or in Africa, and we've been seeing more and more of these. And this is what you're referring to as the
wow.
And that's imagine folks,
the lying there. Wonders. When she talks about imagining the unimaginable and inventing the uninventable. Does it not say in Scripture lying wonders? Does it not say in Scriptures that God will allow every evil to be manifest, that every imagining of man will be allowed?
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
What I believe that we're talking about here is compliments of Mr. Patch. Folks, go to anthonypatch.com. Compliments of Mr. Patch through his work. We are getting insight into the back room. This is where all the projectors are, the technical equipment is. It's behind the curtain, behind the veil. This is where all the machinations are not just planned out, but they're choreographed through this modern technology that you and I really don't know anything about. And we're getting insight into the deception, not for any other reason. For the primary reason of being able to identify when we're getting hosed, folks.
Yep.
I mean, we got to know. The more I see this, the more I realize, and then you can comment on this, but the more I realize that we are going to be, what we're about to see, or we're about to experience, the world that is, I truly believe, will convince even the most skeptic among us that, hey, That's our Savior up there. This is real. I mean, that's what I believe. It's going to be that compelling.
It will be, and there's technology out there to back that up beyond just the images. But I wanted to mention real quickly before I go down that rabbit hole, in the video that we're talking about, Lady Gaga also talks about the wizard. You mentioned, you're getting a chance to see behind the scenes and see, behind the projectors here. She is saying that we are going to reveal what's behind the curtain, and you will get to see the wizard behind the curtain, obviously a reference to the Wizard of Oz, but the wizard is Satan. She is talking about revealing Satan in all his glory, as they imagine him, and all of his technology. They're telling us in this video, we're going to show you all of the lying wonders. They're going to manifest as incredible inventions, incredible imaginings that you have no idea about, but we're going to show you. We're going to show you everything that we've had hidden for the last 50 or 70 years that you have no idea. There's a part in Scripture that talks about men's hearts will fail at what they behold. This is, and that's more to the opening of the abyss and, the locust army and all of that. But still, this all fits in together. Again, I'm not trying to scare people, but I'm trying to lay out that they are telling us to our face what they're going to do. And they do it through the commercials. So whatever they have planned for the Grammys, because she says they have a secret project, she and Intel, that they are going to reveal at the Grammys. Now, it could just be some great computer system or whatever, but I'm imagining that it's going to be her, indistinguishable from a real human being.
Wow. And those people who are not aware of what show, I mean, imagine not being aware of this, just being so clueless. You're walking around out there, and the deception is much easier to those who are uninformed. We are going to have our work cut out for us at that moment to get people to understand this is all just a big lie, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So well done.
Mr. Patch, what's the significance of the cube?
Ah, Saturn.
Okay.
The cube is a false representation of reality. The cube is supposed to be, in Euclidean mathematics and geometry, it is supposed to represent all four senses and all four directions of measurement, including time, fourth being time. However, the real representation of the universe, they want us to believe in the cube. The occult, those that practice in the sacred geometries, they believe in the cube. But the real model of the universe, and this is what I put out, and you'll see it there on my website, images of a sphere that's comprised of triangles, more specifically tetrahedrons. What they're trying to present to us, and I'm throwing a lot at you at once here, but they're trying to show us that what we believe in is that the universe is made up of cubes, and that everything that we know in our senses is related to what we can measure in that cube, in that four-way representation of our existence, our realm, our universe. But the cube also has to do with the core of Saturn, the occult worship, the black sun, the golden age of Kronos. They believe that their leadership, their fallen angel leadership, is trapped within a cube within the core of Saturn. And it is their goal to release those entities, have them merge with the entities that are trapped within the Earth, within the abyss of the Earth. And they will use CERN to connect Saturn to the Earth and use a plasma conduit of Birkeland currents that will connect Saturn and the Earth, thus recreating the existence or the atmosphere, so to speak, that existed in their belief of the golden age of Kronos, when the Earth and Saturn were joined within a plasma envelope. They cannot reconnect physically in close proximity the two planets, but they can use technology. They can use CERN to reconnect Saturn to Earth. They can also reignite a plasma envelope around Saturn, which is the same thing that occurred during the golden age, and a plasma envelope around the Earth. And they will connect those two plasma envelopes using a plasma conduit of Birkeland currents generated by the Large Hadron Collider, which also opens the portal at the same time as this conduit is created. And the conduit will be used to bring those entities out of the cube within Saturn to the Earth, and they will have their golden age. In other words, their version of the Garden of Eden.
Mr. Patch, you just kind of blew me away here, because it was in 2013. I had a conversation with a gentleman who was detached but working for the United States government. As a matter of fact, NASA, we'll just say NASA, which really is not true, but had associations with NASA. And we were talking. I had asked a question about, the conversation went into astrology, okay? Only because he had made a statement. And if you can expand upon what you just said, because I believe what you just said is key to something. I don't know what it is, but it's something. Because I was told, and this is the first time I've ever said this on air, by this government contact, and I've not talked to him since. He said, obviously, and the conversation was paraphrased by the powers here on our walking on Earth are transfixed with astrology and numerology and sacred geometry, but he told me, he said, you've got no idea what you're talking about, and I didn't. You have no idea what the importance of Saturn is to these people. That was the first time and only time I've ever heard Saturn referenced in this context.
And Stan Deo said something about, at one time, the Earth being joined with Saturn in a way, and that being taken away, and I do not remember all the specifics of that conversation except for that detail.
Well, there was discussion, brief discussion of unfinished rings or something about the rings as well.
Mm-hmm.
What are we talking about here? Can you help me out? Because this, again, I have not said this publicly because I didn't know what to say. I've never really... Saturn? I mean, help me.
Yeah, it does sound totally bizarre, and again, this is not my belief, and I know it doesn't reflect your beliefs for either of you gentlemen, but if people are familiar with the worship of the Black Sun, if we go to the Nazis, if you will, the Vril, all of these societies, if you want to talk about any of the leaders in the occult societies, you go right down through the whole list, and you can go back to Egypt, you can go back to the Sumerian writings. All of this revolves around Saturn. We see this in corporate America, in the logos of corporate America, and not even corporate America, around the planet. Saturn is revered. It goes back to what I mentioned as their belief in a time when, before Saturn and even the Earth were part of what we now consider our known solar system, Saturn and the Earth traveled together, enveloped in a single plasma envelope, a highly charged electrical environment in which human beings lived on the Earth. And there was no sun. There was no night. It was always daylight. And the daylight was provided by Saturn. Saturn was the sun of the Golden Age. And the story goes that Saturn and the Earth moved into what we now call our solar system, and then the two planets were separated. And I can give you more details, but I'm keeping it short. It's the separation that has caused all of the problems with our planet, according to these believers. And it is their goal to solve the world's problems by bringing back that connection that existed between Saturn and the Earth back in what they call the Golden Age of Kronos, and Kronos is Saturn.
So thank you for that explanation. That's a very good, concise explanation. The information that I did research, I mean, there's a lot of it out there, but that is concise indeed. Let me ask a follow-up. One follow-up question, I'm going to turn this to you. The recent planetary alignment that occurred, well, not recent, but the Sunday, the planetary alignment, the five planets, beginning, I think, with, what was it, Mercury?
Mercury, Mars, and Venus.
The five planets, yeah.
Jupiter, Saturn, and Earth.
Yeah. What significance, and I was told that this holds an extreme significance, as if it's like a marker in time. Like a bookmark in time.
Mm-hmm.
And especially given the rituals at the Super Bowl, you know, so some believe the rituals that we saw are merely nothing more than Black Panther, Black Power, you know, limited to that. But others, like myself, believe that there was a much deeper esoteric message timed with the planetary alignment. Can you explain the significance of that planetary alignment that we saw on Sunday?
Well, not being a practitioner of the occult nor of astrology, it's difficult for me to give a definitive, in-depth answer, but I'll give you a very superficial conjecture on my part, and that is that there's another planetary alignment of the same planets coming up on May 7th. There are two alignments. One takes place in terms of the closest planet and then the furthest away planet. And then there is an alignment that takes place in terms of the names of the planets. And these all, both of these two types of alignments have occult significance. I don't know what they are. The conclusion that I come to is that it's a releasing of spiritual entities, and it is a gaining of further power. The purpose of the rituals, such as the Super Bowl, is to gain additional spiritual power. Apart from the other side, if you will, from the demonic realm, but spiritual power from those that are in the stadium, as well as those that are watching on TV. The television is a portal. This is all about gaining spiritual energy through the rituals. The other is the alignment of the planets, as I understand it, enhances that. It enhances that spiritual reinforcement of that energy. It heightens the power, if you will. But if we go back to the Intel commercial for the Grammys with Gaga, there is a there's an aircraft hangar, more specifically a dirigible or lighter-than-air or blimp hangar. There are three of them. This one is at Moffett Field, and I know this area very well. I grew up in the area. Moffett Field is right across, it's a stone's throw from Levi's Stadium where the football game was played, where the Super Bowl was played. They filmed the video in that hangar. And when the doors at the beginning are opened, you'll see door number 5 on the left and number 6 on the right. They don't put numbers out there randomly. I believe that they're saying May 6th, which lines up with this May 7th alignment of the planets that's coming up. What's going to happen? I don't know. It could just be another ceremony to gain additional power. But I think that the Super Bowl was serving, and this commercial was serving to say, this is a warm-up exercise for something bigger that's coming. And it may be, I don't know, there may be something big that's going to happen on the next alignment of May 7th.
Very interesting, Mr. Patch. Back to the Black Sun that you referenced. We did a few shows on the cover and contents of the magazine The Economist and the symbolism that they put in their magazine, especially on the cover and in the poster inside. Excuse me. And in there is a picture. There's a whole lot of things going on. One of the things that is going on is there is the sun is blackened. Do you mm-hmm. see any correlation or significance with what you just explained to the cover of
was
The
it,
Economist?
Was it the sun or was it the moon? I mean,
I think it was the sun.
Because, that's a 2015. Is that the 2016, Eric, that you put up there? Or that's 2016. Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to get out.
And then on the right-hand side there is the blacked-out sun. On the left-hand side looks like the moon, but it has a sign that says Jupiter. It points away.
Yeah, Jupiter is a daughter planet to Saturn. The theory is that it was birthed due to a cataclysm, a cataclysmic event, perhaps another body that impacted Saturn. But it's a daughter planet, and so the two are still connected. Their goal is, ultimately, if they can do it, if they can achieve this, their goal is to electrically reconnect all of the planets. Now, the black sun, if that's the sun, I haven't looked at that in a while, but if it's the sun rather than the moon, then that fits to Saturn, exactly. And Saturn needs to be reconnected in their minds to Jupiter.
Wow.
Very interesting.
Folks, you see how all of this is coming together, how Mr. Patch is connecting the dots, and we're doing so with reasoned speculation and investigation. Research. This is not just a bunch of stuff just thrown out there. I mean, this is looking at it from a number of different perspectives, including the perspective of the powers, the sick Luciferian powers out there that want to subjugate us. Very interesting.
Mr. Patch, we could get back to CERN, we have a question from Deborah M., who asks this. If you could define what CERN wanted to find, what they are doing with it, and how we will find out.
Hmm. Well, the major agenda, as I said, is to open a portal, as they admit, and to communicate with the other side and to have the other side communicate and actually pass entities into our realm of existence through that portal. I call it the freeway. There are lots of portals around the planet, and there are many people who individually can communicate with the other side. But this is what I call the freeway. This is opening up the big portal that'll be stable. It'll be opened and maintained by the adiabatic quantum computer. Again, as I said, is an interdimensional computer. And they are going to let everybody come through this time. The short answer here is that CERN not only is trying to achieve a portal, it has multiple agendas and applications, but they say that they were trying to find the God particle, the so-called Higgs boson. This is all a cover story. None of this has any application to their reality. This is for public consumption. This is to justify funding. These are jobs programs. This is the military-industrial complex gone completely off the deep end in terms of jobs, money, all of that. But the point here with the technology is that they say they're trying to find, you know, particles that existed at the time of the initiation of the Big Bang. That's for public consumption. They're not only trying to create a portal, but they are trying to create the most powerful explosive in the known universe, which are strangelets, the quark gluon condensate that I spoke of earlier. This is a weapon. The purpose of the weapon is to breach the fabric of space, which is a plasma. It has nothing to do with dark matter and dark energy. They know that the universe is electric. It's an electric plasma. They need to reach down at the quantum level to the strong force. It sounds like Star Trek, but there's a strong nuclear bond that exists at the quantum level between quantum particles. And they need to have enough power to break that nuclear bond. We're not talking about splitting atoms like a nuclear bomb going off. We're talking about using quark gluon condensate, which predates in the timeline of the Big Bang, predates the Higgs boson. So it is not the Higgs boson that is the original first particle. The first particle are quark gluon condensates, known as strangelets, and those I call the Lucifer or the Satan particle. That's my own name. I call it the Satan particle because they want to use it as a weapon to break through to another dimension. The other characteristic of strangelets is that it has the potential of converting this planet into a neutron star. A neutron star is comprised of strangelets, which attract other matter to them, condense it, much like the gravity of a theoretical black hole. If you imagine that scenario, attracting matter to itself, that's how a neutron star is created, are strangelets. Strangelets have been produced by the Relativistic Heavy Ion Collider at Brookhaven Laboratory in April of 2014. They also created them at the Large Hadron Collider. Anything above 10 tera electron volts produces strangelets. They have been doing that all last year. They have plenty of material now. That's why I think that they're done. I don't see that they need to utilize the particle collider for anything more than just opening the portal. And they have the weapons that they need, not only to open the portal, but they have the powerful weapon to use against God. Their agenda is to kill God's army in the final battle and to kill God himself. This is the hubris of Satan. Satan truly believes that he can kill God, and they are producing the weapons for that battle.
You know, I was going to say the exact same thing. Okay, I was going to offer the same explanation. All right. But you beat me to it. Yeah. Ken, or I'm sorry, Ron had sent an email, and I think you just answered this, if I understand this correctly. It's, the question relates to understanding how CERN is subdividing particles, of, well, how they make the jump from that to revealing other dimensions, but I think you just answered that. If I, I'm going to have to listen to it like four or five times, but you just answered that, didn't you?
They're going to blow a hole in the fabric of space.
Right. Right. Okay.
Wow.
Again, you know, ladies and gentlemen, I think tonight is one of the most important broadcasts you can listen to. Please tell your family, friends about this, and also listen to this over and over again, because I don't think, I mean, just to make sure you get all the information from this, and certainly bookmark anthonypatch.com and support his work and get, pass the word, because this is extremely, I mean, critical information.
Yeah. If I could, Mr. Patch, I want to ask you to speculate for a second. In Revelation, we're told about a time in heaven where there's silence for 30 minutes. Are you familiar with that?
Yes, sir.
Do you have any theories or thoughts on to why or what causes that silence? And if so, is that related to what we're talking about tonight?
Well, I hope I don't step into the realm of being accused of being a heretic. So, you know, I'm not a scholar. I'm not a scholar. So if I'm out of line, I apologize up front. Yeah, speculation on my part. I think it is sort of the angels holding their breath. I think it's the preparation for war. I think the angels realize what's coming, and they don't really want to do it. They don't want to get into this battle, and they know how bad it's going to be. But this is a spiritual battle. You mentioned, Joe, you mentioned at the beginning of the show that you cannot separate the spiritual from the physical. I have said the same thing many times. This is a spiritual battle, but it has a physical manifestation. And we know that that's a battle between angels on both sides, in both camps. And we know that it's also a battle between men and themselves, brother against brother. I think the 30 minutes is where the angels are kind of going, okay, we're going in. We're going into the front lines. And everybody's going to jump in, because this is a spiritual battle. We talk about putting on the full armor of God in a spiritual sense, but I'm not trying to scare people, but boy, there is no way getting around it. We are going to war, and it's coming fast.
Well, that's just fascinating. What you just said, the half hour in silence, the half hour of silence in heaven being that the angels are holding their breath, because we do know, as you said, that not only will Satan attempt to kill God and to overthrow heaven, for himself, but we know that he will fail in his attempt, and the angels that are in heaven, it talks in the Bible extensively how around the throne of God are angels who worship him constantly and sing his praises, and all the different functions from the cherubim to and what they do, and how the hierarchy of heaven is basically centered around God and the worship of God, and that's what ceases in heaven for the half hour of silence. All that worship and praise is stopped, and I've never heard it explained in the way that you've explained it, nor even thought about it myself as to why it would be silent in heaven for a half hour. And I'm going to continue to look into that, keeping your speculative point of view very much in the forefront when I do.
Let me know what you find.
Absolutely.
Scalar technology, scalar waves.
Yeah. Tesla.
You know, Tesla, right. Ted Rohrer talked about this on our program before, and one of our listeners had asked you, for your comments. Let me see if I can find it here. Man, I'm not even sure I could read the question. I'm not sure I understand the question, but the talk about being out of your element. The scalar waves that are created during our prayer connection to the Lord. Are they? Number, I guess. Or could it be said that scalar waves are created via our prayer connection?
Like energy being created?
Not. Was that the right even? Can
well,
you create it? I mean, that in that fashion. Go ahead.
Yeah, energy already exists. The conservation of energy, the conservation of mass, is well understood in physics. But if we're relating to what I said about quantum entanglement and particles being able to communicate across vast distances instantaneously, and that is a representation of prayer between us and God, or us and Jesus Christ as our intercessor, then you can also say, if we're talking about quantum entanglement of particles, we also have to talk about, in the theory of wave-particle duality, in which a particle can be a wave and a wave can be a particle simultaneously at the same moment. They can have both forms. Then if we go from particle quantum entanglement, we're also talking about wave entanglement, communication in a waveform or a form of energy. A frequency, a wave that has a specific frequency, would also represent that quantum entanglement, because you can have entanglement of particles, but you can also have entanglement of waves. So our energy is connecting with Jesus's energy, just like our particles are connecting with the particles of Jesus. They're doing it at the same time, same process, same manner. We just describe it in terms of quantum mechanics, but in the Bible, they talk about it in terms of prayer.
I just realized I should have paid a heck of a lot more attention to Physics 101 as we're talking about this. Yeah. All right. Because the question here by Nicolette also referenced quantum entanglement that occurs when we actively put on the full armor of God daily, which I think by your answer kind of I get the connection here. Okay. Wow.
The full armor of God in a physics standpoint is that the energy that is given to us by the Holy Spirit is a wave. That's a waveform of energy. And the full armor of God is a spiritual waveform of energy that surrounds us. It doesn't necessarily have to manifest as a physical particle, but it does exist as a wave that the Holy Spirit becomes enveloped around our body as a shield of protection, an energy shield. Star Trek, put up the shields up, Scotty. This is real in the world of quantum physics. There is an energy field that surrounds every particle. There's no reason to say that it doesn't happen with us as a physical life form, that the full armor of God provided to us through the Holy Spirit, which is a waveform of energy, protects us from head to toe from the spiritual onslaught that comes from Satan and his minions, which are also waveforms of energy.
Very interesting, Mr. Patch. With that, we are up against another top of the hour break. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report with our guest tonight, Mr. Anthony Patch. Go to his website, anthonypatch.com, and you can go to our YouTube channel, the official Hagman and Hagman Report, to see his latest videos, as well as anthonypatch.com. We're going to come back with our third and final hour and getting into more of your questions for Mr. Patch on the other side. Stay with us.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.